This is Roger Walton with a moment from our Christian musical heritage.
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days.
Robert Grant is the writer of this hymn of worship. This hymn was written around 1833 and came about after Mr. Grant was studying Psalm 104, which starts out like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. And that psalm ends with, my meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. From this study of God's word came the great hymn, O worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
How firm to the end, my Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. My Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend, Redeemer, and Friend.
A Christian Musical Heritage Moment is a production of Anchor Broadcasting.
And with that theme, it's a joy to welcome you to Thursday.
Yeah, wet and rainy, windy,
yeah,
all those other adjectives to go along with what we've got going on, for sure.
A little while ago, I heard something behind me hit on the window, and I didn't realize the wind was blowing that bad.
Yeah.
So it's really picked up here. Not a whole lot of rain as far as what the radar showing,
right.
But there is a particular cell that's going to be tracking through Crusoe,
okay,
about 10 minutes from now,
okay,
and then it'll head on to South Hominy.
All
and
right.
It's got some wind, gusty, yep, winds, and putting down some rain. I'm not seeing the lightning, and I'm not complaining about,
mm-mm,
that. They were saying that originally we might see some lightning. I didn't hear the storm during the night if it was bad.
I didn't either. We had a little bit of wind to it, but I slept right through it.
So. Now the coast, they're getting slammed.
Yeah.
So God bless you if you're on your vacation.
Yeah. They had, apparently we've had some tornadoes down toward New Orleans, down in Slidell. I've been in that area before during disaster work, and so down north, they've had some street flooding in New Orleans because of that same system. Mm. And then, of course, that part kind of broke off and went toward the coast, and the other half is headed up, you know, our way. So,
yeah.
But I don't know if we'll get to the 2 inches they were calling for, but we certainly have had, you know, pretty windy morning. I've been watching it, so be careful out there.
Yeah, slow down on the highways. I was looking at area maps here. We've got the normal slowdown over on I-40 in the Iron Duff Fines Creek area. Mm-hmm. East and westbound, they're working on that bridge, and it'll be like that for a while. Yeah. And kind of backups, they're hit and miss.
Yeah.
The only time I've seen any consistency in it is on usually Friday afternoon.
Right.
And it grows, I guess, folks going or coming from Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge area.
Yeah.
But everything else looks pretty good. Just be careful.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would be going up on 441. They closed it back down overnight. So I think that's supposed to open back up this evening. I guess they may have had some high wind damage or something like that up there because – I mean, that is a pretty mountainous road, even though it's very scenic and very beautiful. It just, it's hard to keep up with all the damage that may come from these wind storms. And so that's probably the reason why.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there.
Yeah.
And if you're traveling in Pisgah Forest, I came through there yesterday a couple of times, just errands I was running and whatnot. And the North Carolina DOT is getting work started on the two new roundabouts, Pisgah Highway and Hendersonville Highway and Forest Gate Drive and Deaver Road.
Great.
Yeah, they've got a little bit of a lane shift there right near the fish camp, folks that travel that. Okay. They're trying to limit the impact to traffic, but it's just going to be hard to do. But they say that what in an effort to try to lessen the impact, and especially during the school year, they're going to try to limit their closures or narrowing the lanes down to between 7 and 8:30 in the morning and 2:30 and 4:30 in the afternoon.
Okay.
So they'll try not to have it during that time to allow the buses a little bit more leeway.
Yeah.
Completion date on this project?
Yeah, happy day. 2030.
Oh, no. I would have said 35, but no. 27.
2027.
May of 2027.
Okay, well, all right.
Yeah. And they say they're going to improve a lot of stuff and everything. Mm-hmm. And I saw a prime example yesterday of why I get aggravated with sharing the road with bicyclists.
Oh,
can I just share with
you? Yeah, you sure can, because so I can share too.
It's coming down through there.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, getting the construction. They got barrels. They've got the concrete barricades moved over, switching lanes. And, you know, you've got the new Acosta bypass there.
Sure.
Right at the Dollar General. And there's a red light there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And I had green. I was on 64 going into Brevard.
Okay.
So there's, you know, traffic, construction, all this, and a bicyclist is coming out of Acosta Bypass Road.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going through there, and I slow down because, you know, construction. And as I'm starting to get there, the bicyclist just comes out in the road and falls right in behind me.
Mm.
And I'm like, I know you had a red light.
Oh, yeah.
And if it's my understanding, and if I'm wrong, I'm happy to be corrected, that the cyclists are expected to abide by the same rules and regulations that we do as motorists.
Absolutely.
Yep. It would
Without
be like a motorcycle saying they didn't have to abide by the rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's very, you know, I think a lot of times it's a misnomer because the fact is you know, and I've ridden bikes. As a matter of fact, I had one summer where a bicycle was my way to work whenever I was living in South Carolina in Columbia. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, you come up to a stop sign or you come up to a red light, and then typically if you didn't see anything coming, you just kind of make either a right on red or kind of, because that way you don't have to come off your speed. You just kind of keep momentum going, and you can just kind of, you don't have to worry about getting back up to speed. And that's difficult whenever you're just on a regular bicycle where you're the power, okay, especially getting up to speed in traffic, like we've got up here, where all these intersections are, and you've got regular cars going 25, 30 miles an hour through there, and it's hard for a bicycle to get back up to speed. So they tend to cheat a little bit and, you know, and kind of just keep on moving. Mm-hmm. The only problem with that is that eventually somebody's going to get hurt. And I promise you, a bicycle never wins against a car.
No.
It never wins. So I know that that's difficult for the bicyclist to hear. But, you know, everybody has to share the road. That's what the sign says.
Yeah.
You have to share the road. In the process of sharing the road, you got to do what everyone else does.
The law applies,
the law applies to everybody.
Everybody.
Exactly.
So. And they went on to say, the DOT, saying that, you know, yield to vehicles or bicycles that are already in the roundabout. And they say, do not pass a bicyclist while inside the roundabout.
Okay.
Don't try to, and I can see that.
Okay, yeah.
And they encourage you, please don't change lanes in the roundabout. But I find that would be hard if I needed to go a different way and not want, because the outside lane usually, in some of them, have to turn.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess it all depends on what the roundabout makeup is. And they went ahead and say, you know, don't go into a roundabout by traveling beside a larger vehicle, a bus, dump truck, tractor trailers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say that's going to be a challenge when you get the RVs, the big RVs coming through, the Pisgah Forest one.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, you know, and to bring a little humor to this, the fact that I'm looking up at the screen, and bless Daniel, he sends us a picture of the new style roundabout, which may be coming to your area soon, and I'm being facetious. The fact is, you remember the old Matchbox
Hot Wheel
tracks?
Yeah.
You know, well, there's, instead of it going around a roundabout on a flat surface, this one is like the old Hot Wheels loop-de-loop.
Yeah.
And so it's called a new kind of roundabout, where you have to actually speed up to go to make the loop to go around it. I just thought I would throw a little humor in there with that, because you never know. Around, you know, these days we might see something show up like that on a busy street someday.
I'm to the point
where
I'm gonna say never. You know.
Do you realize that speaking of roads, you realize that this I-26 widening project, which began at Malfunction Junction in 2002,
really
has been going on now for over 20 years, this widening project, in combination with all of these, you know, stages, has now passed 20 years. It's been going on since 2002, when they did all the Malfunction Junction renovations. I mean, that was so big, they had to build their own concrete plant in the middle of the median up there. And that was when all of that got started. You know, they're at exit 44 all the way from Smoky Park Bridge, Smoky Park Highway, all the way back to exit where the Malfunction Junction is, and then coming this away. Been going on for over 20 years. I thought, man, where did my life go? You know, because I've been driving through construction for over 20 years, and I've just gotten used to it. You know, just gotten used to it, I guess.
I read something or hear something that maybe they're not going to hit their target completion date?
Daniel and I talked about that last week. The Buncombe County side is not going to get their target date. And the reason why they don't, are not going to hit their target date, remember, they had to add that exit for the Pratt & Whitney plant.
The new plant that came in.
Yep, and so you'll be able to access the Pratt & Whitney plant, not only from 191, but you get to access it off of I-26. And so
they had
a new exit. And so that's where that delay is going to create. But they think that the Henderson County sign will be finished this year. That's what they're saying. And then they said 2027, I think, for the Buncombe County side.
Yeah, there's construction is everywhere.
Yay.
Yeah, just be patient.
Yeah.
Slow down. Also, be patient and maybe not slow down too much if you haven't filed your taxes already.
Oh, and that's got to speed up.
Yeah, you're going to have to put it in gear with that Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
The 15th is the deadline.
Oh, boy.
Has to be postmarked by the 15th. And this is from the official IRS website.
Mm-hmm.
Some tips to help last-minute filers.
Yeah.
One, they say file electronically.
Mm-hmm.
Check your identification numbers, like your Social Security number, because that is one of the major mistakes that folks make frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And that not only includes yourself, but your spouse, and if you're dependents, if you're claiming them. Double-check your figures. Check the tax tables. Make sure to sign your forms.
Yeah.
That seems to be another one of the most mistakes recorded, that people just don't sign it.
Yep.
And make sure you're sending it to the right address. And if you're mailing it, that you got enough postage on it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can, pay electronically. Of course, follow the instructions if you're mailing a payment. And then if you're not able to get everything in line and ready to go by Monday, you can file for an extension. And that will take it to October 15th.
Yeah.
Gives you 6 months. And that you can do at USA.gov. You can go to the IRS website.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have to file a form. I don't have that form number in front of me, but it's there.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to find it. But just know that you can't just not do it.
Right.
You have to request the extension. I think they pretty much grant them if you file
it. For the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's coming up Monday. It's got to be postmarked by the 15th if you're going to be doing that.
Yeah. I think I read somewhere, too, that eventually, over time, they're going to try to phase it in, that most everybody's return will have to be done electronically eventually. That's where I read somewhere.
I'm surprised it's not already.
Yeah, and I think they're doing their best to try to phase it in as painlessly as possible.
Yeah.
But because a lot of times, particularly a lot of our older folks, they just don't have the savvy to get that done. They're still doing it the old-fashioned way, pen and paper and doing all their, stuff like that. So that being said, but the good thing is if you have it done, then a lot of times these agencies will automatically file them electronically for you, so you don't have to worry about it. But if you're doing it yourself, eventually they're going to probably end up requiring it. So,
and I know there's some organizations like maybe AARP or other senior-minded organizations that offer free help.
Yeah.
Preparing taxes for our senior community.
Yeah. And I know some banks offer it as well.
So it'd be something to check
if you got a membership in a bank or a credit union or somewhere like that, they oftentimes offer those services. Probably for a nominal fee, but still, it'll help out anyway.
Yeah. So that's one thing that's going on in April.
Yeah.
Somebody said their youngest son was born in 2002.
Yeah.
Time just gets away, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It sure does.
For sure.
Well, Ford is issuing a recall, about 43,000 small SUVs. Apparently, a gasoline leak from the fuel injectors, that gas can leak onto a hot engine surface.
Okay.
And it doesn't take a scientist to see that that would be a bad thing.
Major.
Heat and gas.
Yeah.
You don't want to mix them. And they say the remedy actually does not include repairing the fuel leak. It just is going to work with the fuel injectors. I don't understand all this. Some people are not happy about the fix that Ford is proposing.
Yeah.
But they got, I guess, approval for it. So they say, again, Ford says the fuel injectors can crack and gasoline or vapor can accumulate near ignition sources, possibly touching off fires. They have had 5 underhood fires and then 14 other fires reported. But they went on to say that they don't really, say park it outside like some recalls they'll advise you to. But they say that owners will be notified with letters starting April the 1st, and it covers certain Bronco Sport SUVs, 22 and 23 models, as well as Escape SUVs, 2022 and higher.
I see some common denominator there in the fact that these vehicles were produced during COVID probably during supply shortages and supply line shortages, as well as, a lack of, probably good assembly line workers and so on and so on and so on, and good products.
Yeah.
So you may see this, in the future coming down the road, where we had all those interruptions come through COVID. And now you're going to see some of these products because, these plants were, they were telling people stay home.
Right.
And they were putting out minimal vehicles.
Yeah.
And a lot of the supply chain, you couldn't get parts.
Yeah.
So they were having to scrounge and trying to make parts pretty much wherever they, or find them wherever they could get them.
Yeah.
And so that being said, There may be some lingering product issues coming down the road, not only from us as human beings having lingering COVID symptoms, but there may be lingering other things involving that. I just happened to see that common denominator in
I never thought about that it's a good point.
Just out of curiosity, just see how these recalls, and when you start talking about hundreds of thousands of vehicles, you know, that's a major issue. Because if you've got a particular product that's that defaulted, you know, that's faulty, you know, then that's a serious production problem.
I think it is.
Yeah, you got to trace that all the way back to, okay.
A fire, you know, is a,
I would think that would be,
I think that would be kind of detrimental.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Batteries overheat, you know.
Exploding. You know. Brakes not working.
I mean, we did a story this morning on a lithium batteries that caught fire yesterday, a lithium batteries that caught fire in a scissor lift. One of those,
used in a warehouse.
In a warehouse, okay. Yeah. And a lithium batteries caught on fire. And, you know, you just can't put those out any old way.
No.
You know, so we hear these kind of stuff. And I realize there's a learning curve with progress.
Yeah.
But at what cost? I don't know, you know. Saying.
I don't know how lenient my understanding would be. I would think, you know, you'd need that done in testing, beta testing in an extended period of time when you're looking at something that could be that detrimental, you know. Yeah. That's just me, but anyhow. So the Ford, again, Bronco Sport SUVs and Escape SUVs, 22 and 23, and then the Escape, I think, comes on up to 24. But they'll let you know. They said April 1st, so letters were going out. So you probably, I don't know if everybody's got theirs by now or not, but there you have it.
All right.
Today is National Pet Day.
National Pet Day.
National Pet Day. Oh. Yeah, and I love animals.
Yeah.
Now, I do not like snakes.
Right.
And I don't like spiders.
Right.
And I don't like mice, rats, or vermin in that little hole. I don't even like furry rats called hamsters.
Right.
Not that I have anything against anybody who does. It's just not for me.
Rodents.
Rodents. There you go.
Yeah.
And then I don't really think I would ever want to have like an iguana or a lizard as a pet.
No.
Had a turtle growing up, but you know, you just
we all had
turtles,
box turtles,
you know.
Yeah, we all had box turtles.
Yeah, you kept them for a while and then you let them go,
right?
They say, you know, of course, that dogs and cats are the two most common pets that we have. And I grew up, I can hardly remember a time when we didn't have a dog,
right?
But I grew up on a farm, so next to my grandparents, so we had all kinds of animals.
Yeah.
I'm not a real fan of chickens. Had a bad experience with a mean rooster growing up. So it left me a little scarred.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is that there's a difference between pets and like, because you really can't get attached to animals on the farm,
per se.
That's
the number one rule.
The number one rule on being on the farm, you don't get attached to the animals.
No.
The pets, okay, yeah. But animals, you know, things that are like food sources.
You grew them to eat them.
You know, I almost made the mistake last night. You know, I was talking about, I was talking that verse in Isaiah 40:31 where it talks about that you mount up with wings as eagles. And I was using the illustration how God chose the eagle as the majestic animal that it is and how he didn't choose turkeys.
Yeah.
He didn't choose chickens. He didn't choose guineas or ostriches or anything like that. He chose to use the word eagle. Because none of those birds, those other birds that I just listed, you know, even though some may try to fly, they don't do a whole lot of flying.
No.
And so because, and I said, you know, they're good for other purposes. And I was preaching in a big way. And I said, now don't tell my granddaughter, and she's at school right now, so I don't have to listen. I said, so don't tell my granddaughter that that's where chicken nuggets come from, you know. Because all she wants right now is chickens.
She wants chickens.
But you can't have barn animals as pets. You know, I guess you can, but you know
you have to be open minded.
You better
I think.
Yeah.
Because you know we had hogs, we had cattle, cows, we had horses.
Yeah.
You know, and we grew up a fish farm, and we had all kinds of fish. We had a lot of different things.
But what you want a pot? I mean, I couldn't see myself having a potbelly pig in my living room.
No, I can't either. But
I just can't see that. But
I saw during COVID there was an explosion in the popularity of or vogueness, if that's a word,
yeah,
of having chickens.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They had at one box store, they had a chicken coop. They called it a chicken townhouse or a
condo.
Chicken condo.
Condo, yeah.
I'm like, a chicken condo.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it all helps them lay eggs a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, I love those, as they call home-laid eggs. The yellow, super yellow.
Organic.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Free range.
I'm all about that.
That's all we had growing up. They were free range.
Yeah, so, again, as far as having a pet, and the other thing that came to my mind when I was thinking about National Pet Day is the whole service animal aspect.
Right.
And I respect so much the service that trained, mm-hmm, bona fide service animals provide to their owners.
Absolutely.
In many, many cases, it's life-saving.
Sure it is.
They can sense seizures. They can sense other things. It's amazing what these animals
absolutely
can do.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I wonder where we've gotten to when someone throws a fit because they can't take their turkey on board an airplane because it's a service animal.
Somebody had it. We did the story. Somebody had an alligator. They had a service alligator.
And so I'm just wondering, to me, that cheapens what the service animal is meant to do.
Absolutely.
Because, again, I respect so much what they can help their owners do.
Well, it's because people have tried to make it subjective instead of objective. I mean,
yes.
And that whole service really all got its start by trying to assist those with handicaps.
Yeah.
You know, whether you were blind or deaf, you had a medical issue, people who were suffering. And it really took on a lot when we started having soldiers come home and they had PTSD and they had all kinds of medical issues.
Which is a real thing.
Absolutely. And it was so vital and so critical,
mm-hmm,
for that area of service to be introduced into their lives and using animals to do that. So I agree. I don't have any issue with that whatsoever. But I think a lot of folks have just really gone off the other end of the spectrum and abused that to the point to where it has become a subjective thing individually instead of really being certified. And there's the difference.
That's it.
There's a big difference from being certified a service animal and versus and a lot of times those animals are their pets.
Yeah.
And they have a great attachment and closeness to them animals because they have saved lives.
They have, and they give so much freedom to folks that maybe otherwise wouldn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we were in Texas, the gentleman that I work for, his son was blind.
Yeah.
And it was at the time I was working for him that his son got his dog.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And he went and stayed at a facility where for like 6 weeks, where he learned to command his dog, and his dog learned about him. But then when they came back, this dog was amazing what he allowed this young man to do.
Yeah.
Play with his kids. I mean, it helped him eventually, go into the park. And so it gave him that freedom.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. But the one thing I will say, and I've tried to teach my kids and now my grandkids, if you are in a place of business and there is a service animal, they'll have the vest or some type of identification on them. Don't talk to the pet and don't pet him, and please don't do it. They're working.
Yeah, they're working. That's right.
So just kind of throw that out
there. I saw one time, it was a lady who was a severe diabetic, and the dog was trained to be able to smell that. Most people who have high blood sugar, who go getting ready to go into diabetic ketoacidosis, is that their breath it smells real fruity.
Oh.
And so those dogs are able to detect that minutes in advance before it actually gets to the point to where they pass out, because their nose is so sensitive that it can pick up on that fruity smell, and they think that that's their owner is getting ready to have an episode, a diabetic episode. And that's amazing to me, to be able to train a dog to be able to do that and save that individual's life. That's just, you know.
And those that have seizures, there's a seizures way that the dog senses that, and I can't explain it, but I've seen it, and it's true.
It's so cool.
So, again, salutes to pets Pet today.
Day. Yeah.
But, and again, we have two dogs, and they think they rule the roost, and they let us stay there at the house with them. But
yeah, my grandpa had pet squirrels.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fun.
They used to come on the porch and wait every day.
Really?
Yeah, and my dad had some on the porch. They'd wait every day, come out there and wait for their peanuts. I don't know. They were kind of pets, but not pets. They just kind of show up.
Hey, I take it. It's all good. It's all good. I saw a story out of Kansas, and this was if you've got some cookies you bought at a bakery in Kansas, just heads up.
Okay.
It's a family bakery, and the lady that owns it still works there every day and rolls out the cookies and everything. It's Sis Sweet Cookies and Cafe in Kansas.
Okay.
Well, later in the day, one day last week, on Tuesday, I guess it was, she looked down and saw that the main diamond in her ring was gone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, a pretty good-sized diamond. The diamond's worth over $4,000.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So she kind of retraced her steps and everybody, all her employees. And she said that, you know, she's been in business for 36 years, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And she says every day she's been there rolling out this dough, and she's had this ring on her finger.
My goodness.
Every day. but the thing that they're thinking now is maybe the diamond dropped into the dough while she was rolling out cookies.
Oh, no.
On last Friday.
Okay.
So they've narrowed it down to chocolate chip, sugar, or peanut butter cookies.
Okay.
And she's warning customers, if you bought them there, be careful chomping down, because she doesn't want you to break a tooth.
Right.
And she also doesn't want you to swallow her $4,000 diamond.
No, don't think so.
Yeah, she's put it on Facebook. This came off Fox News. You know, they grab stories like this.
Right.
But said that if someone finds it, they're offering a reward of free cookies.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know if you'll ever find that. Maybe. I hope so. But, yeah.
I just hate it for you.
It may happen.
It could.
It could happen.
But it's unlikely, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. 1817. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's another example of a dog helping with seizures. Gave an 8-minute warning.
Oh,
that's cool. Be able to get to her, turn the stove off
and get to a safe
down.
Place.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And that's the whole reason they're trained to do what they do.
Wow.
Is to help their owners.
That's so great. That's so cool.
Yeah. So I'm all for the service animal aspect. I read years ago, time gets away from me, so I don't know exactly how long, but it was a service miniature pony.
Okay.
See, I love miniature animals.
Yeah.
I just do, but a miniature pony. And they actually ended up letting the person with their service pony on the airplane.
Well, I mean, that would be like rival the size of a large dog, I imagine.
Yeah, you know.
I guess that would kind of, you know.
And did you see where some airlines now are going to let dogs, like, ride in the cabin?
In the cabin. Mm-hmm.
And not have to go, you know, and be crated and down maybe in the other places that they've carried them.
Well,
so, I don't know.
I can probably tell you this. I've probably known some dogs who are service animals that have better manners than other people that have been on a plane.
Amen.
Did I say that?
You did, and I amened you. So.
I mean, I'm just saying. Better manners than some others. I can just say that right now.
And that's not subjective. That's just facts.
That's just the facts.
That's just facts.
That's all right.
Well, it is Swap Shop time here on a Thursday, 828-884-9. 427 if you have something for us today.
Here is a set of four 20-inch rims and tires, and they are Terra Grappler G2 tires, the LT 305 55R20, and they are the 10-ply tires, and they're asking $800 for the set. 828-684-7037, 684-7037.
Here is a Chanel Plum love seat and two matching chairs, and they're asking $300. They also have a white Kenmore dishwasher for $300 or best offer. 877-3099, 877-3099.
Here's for sale a car hauler slash trailer. It's 19 foot plus the tongue. It has side rails and ramps in good condition, asking $1,800. 577-0160, 577-0160.
And coming up, I guess that's today and tomorrow. Today's Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Cars Hill Baptist Church in Cedar Mountain is having an indoor yard sale today. It's running until 4. And then tomorrow from 9 to 4. And they say don't be there early in the morning because there's no early shoppers. And since it's inside, you can go and shop in the dry. Cars Hill Baptist Church is located at 2719 Greenville Highway in Brevard. That's U.S. 276 South towards Cedar Mountain.
And a yard sale coming up tomorrow, and that is going to start at 8 a.m. At 378 Main Street in Rosman. The items include a Murray lawnmower, a dehumidifier, a 5,000 BTU air conditioner, tools and household items, and more. For more information, you can call 556-0015, 556-0015.
Here we have a Works electric pole saw, only used a couple of times. It looks brand new, asking $60 or best offer. They also have some inline skates. They have women's size 7, used a couple of times for $15, and then women's size 9, only used once for $15. 275-3839, 275-3839.
Here's someone looking for a set of worn locking hubs for an older Jeep. They need that to, I guess, complete their four-wheel drive setup. 506-5809, 506-5809.
A 1996 Skyliner 26-foot bunkhouse camper. It's always been stored under roof. Everything works. It has four good tires. They add that the battery will need to be replaced. They're asking $5,000. 553-0743, 553-0743.
Someone looking for a pallet jack or a flatbed cart on casters at least 36 by 24 inches. 564-3134, 564-3134.
Australian Shepherd puppies. They're CKC registered blue merles and black bi and tri puppies. Up to date on shots and dewormed. Tails docked, the dew claw removed, and the puppies will have a vet check before they leave. Three females, three males available to their forever homes after May 10th. 706-885-2313. 706-885-2313.
Here are two full-time positions available at James & James Environmental. The first is a water and or wastewater operator position with a minimum or a grade 1 wastewater or sea well license and a clean driving record. Also, the second position is a trainable position, but experience is a significant plus. A clean driving record is also required for that job as well. 828-674-8171, 674-8171.
And I think that's a wrap of our items today. Let me check the email one more time and make sure we're good. I believe that's it.
All right, very good.
And we'll take a look in Carolina calendar of what's happening this week or starting on, say, Sunday or Monday of next week. That work okay?
That'll work okay.
You want,
go ahead.
Okay.
I got you. I'll catch up.
Fairhaven Baptist Church in Hendersonville starts revival this coming Sunday, and they'll go all next week, Monday through Friday nights as well. Sunday services at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then weeknights next week at 7. And starting it off Sunday through Wednesday will be Brother Robert Jones, and then Pastor Chad Watson will be there Thursday and Friday night. On Monday night, they'll have the Edwards family providing special music, and then other groups throughout the week, and then they've got Middle Cross on Friday night. Pastor Chris Norris and the congregation welcome you to join them. Fairhaven Baptist Church is located at 27 Eisenhower Drive in Hendersonville.
And we told about the Cars Hill, so Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Brevard. Invite you to join them for revival starting Sunday the 14th, and that will continue through the 16th with preaching by Brother Larry Raines and Pastor Doug Raines, father and son, there at the Progress Baptist Church, out of the Progress Baptist Church. Sunday service time is at 6 p.m., and then Monday and Tuesday nights are at 7. Amazing Grace Baptist Church is located at 132 Otto Alexander Road in Brevard. Pastor Breck Landreth and the Amazing Grace family welcome you to join them.
The East Otoe Community Center invites you to stop by this afternoon beginning at 2:30, as the Hunger Coalition of Transylvania County will be there this afternoon. Again, 2:30 until 3:45, and they say bring your grocery bag and be ready to shop.
Transylvania County Board of Education will hold its regular business meeting Monday, April the 15th at 6 o'clock at the Morris Education Center at 225 Rosenwald Lane in Brevard. The meeting is open to the public, and the doors open at 5:30 p.m.
The Mills River Town Council will be meeting this evening at 6:30. That's going to be in the Mills River Town Hall. The public is invited to attend, and this meeting will be accessible to the public via electronic means.
And you're also invited to revival services at the Brush Creek Chapel Baptist Church, April the 8th through the 12th at 7 p.m. Pastor Ricky Lee of the Midway Bible Baptist Church is preaching this week, and Pastor Tommy Hart and the congregation welcome everyone. The church is located at 1323 Upper Brush Creek Road in Fairview, North Carolina.
The Riverside Baptist Church in Asheville is in revival. It's their spring tent meeting next week, the 15th through the 19th, 7 o'clock every night, preaching by Pastor Kellen Griffin and Pastor Jason Owens. The tent is located next to the Riverside Baptist Church at 871 Riverside Drive in Asheville, and again, everybody's welcome.
And coming up this Saturday, April the 13th, the public is invited to hear Lieutenant Colonel Ed Cottrell, United States Air Force retired, tell the story of him meeting his former enemy, a German pilot, in the Battle of the Bulge, and how the two became forever friends. He will be signing his book, We Shall Come Home Victorious. Light refreshments will be served, and the public is invited at 11 a.m. at Grace Brevard Church, 55 East Jordan Street in Brevard.
And that's what's going on this week. We're starting into next week, and we'll tomorrow try to take a look at everything in Carolina calendar.
Good deal.
A little extra time there. Well, we've got time to go out with a song, if that's all right.
Good deal.
We started with the Swatako family, so how about we end with them?
How about that?
It's
a precious family.
We appreciate them. A song entitled, I Know It's Mine.
Have a great evening.
There are so many battles around us, pressing on every side. Sometimes God calls us to stand still, but sometimes He calls us to fight. So I'll hold to promise He's with us, even in moments like this. Oh, I'm marching out as a soldier with a song of praise on my lips. I'm gonna sing, gonna lift up His name. My weapon is my song of praise. Oh, no matter how long or how hard the fight, if the victory's already been won, then I know it's mine. So I'll put on the armor He gave me.